Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham, I'm a business journalist and I've covered M&A for a decade. It's almost here. The US presidential election takes place on the 5th of November. And with just a few weeks to go, some are taking advantage of a window of stability to IPO. To find out more, I'm joined from New York by Cristiano Della Bona, who is a senior equity capital markets reporter for North America. Hi, Cristiano. Good to talk to you again.
Hi, Juliana. Always a pleasure.
So can you explain why is the IPO window opening now?
Sure. So we are now 3 weeks away from the US election, a major geopolitical moment with massive impact on all areas of finance, economy, and of course, business. And issuers that have been sitting on assets ready for their IPOs are facing a critical question, whether to go ahead now or to wait until next year. And some of them feel like they are ready enough and they want to take advantage of this moment before volatility increases significantly.
So it feels like there's a really small window from that half percentage point rate cut in mid-September until the 5th of November presidential election. Can you talk about the role of private equity sponsors here? Because much of the activity is being driven by private equity. Why is that? And why is now a good time to do it? In addition to the points that you raised earlier in your first answer, the rate cut and market stability.
Absolutely. Private equity sponsors have been sitting on their portfolio companies on the path to an IPO, but held back by market conditions. The Fed announcement was a bit of a green light for issuers to take advantage. It was a jumbo 50 basis points cut. And at some point, issuers decided that with the right investor feedback, with good visibility, at least for the next few weeks, this could be a potential window for them to launch IPOs. Private equity has been waiting on the sidelines, but they have pressure, to come back with some outcome for their limited partners. The year is ending, and it means waiting once again for a window they might never materialize if volatility gets worse, if market conditions worsen. And so they're just hitting the button and kind of hoping for the best.
Yeah, because market conditions are often given as the reason why a lot of companies don't list. So it sounds like market conditions are great right now, but that's not going to last for very long.
Yes, there was a lot of pessimism at the end of the summer because the election was coming, because of geopolitical uncertainty. But this is really a year of transition for IPOs, because the past 2 years have been awful. Annus Horribilis 1 and Annus Horribilis 2 when you talk about 2022 and 2023. In this case, the transactions that we've seen in the first half of this year turned out to be quite positive. The returns were there. IPOs were performing well. And then we had a failed decision coming. So pretty much everyone was wondering, why waiting? Things are not as bad as they are being portrayed. And this period, and especially the early part of September, started to almost look like a missed opportunity until we've seen these first few filings coming in and these private equity-backed companies taking the plunge.
And can you give some examples of the companies going public and explain whether they were expected, whether they were long awaited, or maybe they were unexpected?
Sure. I feel like also the private equity backed companies that went ahead are emblematic of various market situations. We had a Standard Aero, an aviation maintenance company backed by Carlyle, which was previously put up in a dual track process, meaning that they were teasing private interest. But when the bids that came in were considered too low, they decided to go for an IPO. And this is a positive message if you think about it. They think that they will get a better valuation in the public markets. often you see the opposite. Companies trying to go for an IPO and then ending up in the comfortable arms of the new private owner, maybe with more patience than public investors when it comes to performance. Then we had KinderCare Learning Centers, another private equity-backed asset, which had already postponed a listing last year. So it's a sort of comeback. It's a very sizable business.
And was the postponement last year due to unsuitable market conditions?
Correct. Last year, conditions were among the biggest components in issuers deciding to hold back and hope for a better year. And those issuers that could wait decided to just do that and still stay in touch with investors. In this case, the growth story of the business really resonated with a market that is still very open to new stories, that is interested in a variety of sectors, because Standard Aaron KinderCare Learning Centers couldn't be any more different in terms of business offering. And so if you take these assets into account and you add another company among the ones that have filed, we have to remember that Standard Aero is now priced. The stock has surged in the first trading days. Same with KinderCare. Ingram Micro has filed, but it hasn't yet listed. It's a company that is backed by Platinum Equity. It was actually taken private in 2021. So it's a comeback once again into the public markets, a very positive message. And one consultant described this company as the largest company in the tech and supply chain sector that nobody has heard of. Because we're talking about those infrastructure-heavy companies that make the world function, but that the consumer on the street wouldn't be able necessarily to name sometimes.
And then also in the technology space, there's Cerebrus, which is an AI chip company. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, you talk about chips, you talk about technology, and immediately the mind goes back to the golden year of 2021, when all the technology IPOs were all the rage and there was big investor enthusiasm. Cerebras sits at this very critical moment in time when chips are, you know, the new oil, and there's massive investments from government and the private sector to try to be ahead in the race. We are not really talking about a private equity-backed candidate in this case, but it's one that comes off the back of another IPO from Astera Labs in the same sector, and one that really paves the way for all the technology-focused candidates that are waiting on the sidelines, hoping to come in 2025. So investors and bankers are looking at this company more as a message of what's to come at a time when this sector is increasingly important for all countries.
Thank you. And we obviously don't know the outcome of the election, but is there a sense that the IPO market could be even better next year once the dust has settled on the election outcome, and assuming there is a decisive outcome and there's not another attempt to storm Congress again? How optimistic are your sources about the post-election period and the year ahead when it comes to IPOs?
The thing is that uncertainty is the enemy of capital markets. So whatever the outcome is, far from any political assessment, an election outcome means certainty. It means that investors can start factoring in all the potential scenarios, but they have that, you know, element of certainty that allows them to at least go ahead, make their predictions, but going on with their lives and helping, you know, deals go forward in the market. So whatever happens, investors can look at 2025 saying, okay, we have a set of policies that we can expect. We have a candidate in the White House that will be the actual president after the transition period. And so that's it. We should get our equity stories ready. We should make sure that investors are aware with what is coming down the line. And other than that, if market conditions remain the same, there's no reason to postpone further
listings. Thank you, Cristiano. Good to talk to you again. That was Cristiano Della Bona, a senior equity capital markets reporter for North America. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow or subscribe, and please do rate and review the show. For more information about what we've been discussing, have a look at our show notes for this episode. Join us again next week.